This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to the Junkies on a Tuesday morning. We are neck deep in free agency in the NFL right now on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We're joined by John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. He must be a busy man these last few hours. What's up, John? Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing
great. We're
doing
well. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most surprised, how surprised were you at the Laremy Tunsil trade news?
Well, I was very surprised because that's not something you had heard. And the big trade we were waiting for, wondering about, was more for Trey Hendrickson, right? Like, that's the one, because he was available and you knew he would have filled a really big, you know, hole for them. What I did know is that they seemed to be intent on finding a left tackle. And there was disappointment when Ronnie Stanley returned to Baltimore. Whether or not they would have gotten him, who knows? But like, there was disappointment because I think that was a desire of theirs. So knowing that part, I'm not, you know, it's not, I'm still surprised because like, didn't see that one coming. But yeah, but you knew that there was a desire to fill that spot.
To me, John, it seems like kind of a no-brainer. It's obviously an upgrade. I mean, is he a perfect player? No. He's got blemishes. Most of them do. Is his character 100 out of 100? Maybe not. But the guy's been to, what, 5 Pro Bowls, 1 All-Pro team, potentially. Massive upgrade at the tackle position. What is your best guess as to why Houston let him move on?
It sounds like, first of all, he has 2 years left on his contract, and then you're starting to get into a different age range. You'll be, what, 32, 33? And, you know, I think they have a lot of other young guys coming up that they're going to need to pay around that time. So I think that was that definitely sounds like a big motivation for them to do this. So I think that was number one thing. And then, listen, then you can start to pick apart someone's game, right? And, you know, you hear like, oh, what if, you know, his best days are behind him. Well, yeah, I mean, if you're 30, 31, 32, typically your best days are behind you in the NFL, right? The question is, what kind of level can you still play at? I think his, you know, people I talk to think is that he'll be good, right? And but I do think a lot of it was contract related, to not just his, but his plus what they have coming up. And this was a chance to get, this was a chance to then maximize maybe his, the last time you could maximize his value, perhaps.
What is your best guess as to what they'll do with Coleman? If you had, I mean, obviously there's two options, right? You move him to right tackle, you can move him to guard. To me, guard makes the most sense, but I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah. I think he'd be a terrific guard. But I don't know for sure. But I think right tackle might be more of an option for them, but I don't know that for sure. Like, you know, you heard things third or fourth hand before free agency. That's why, like, this move getting a left tackle wasn't shocking. But I don't know for sure what their plan is with him. What I do know is he gives you the ability to look at multiple options. That's one of the beauties of Coleman, that, you know, mm-hmm. like, you didn't, if you had to ride with him again at left tackle, you could, but he's probably better elsewhere. And I think, you know, but yeah, I think he'd be, and I've talked to other people during the last year that who have felt the same, or not last year, during the last season, et cetera, and even after the season, that he'd be a really good guard. But I could also see right tackle being a strong possibility.
So, John, with 2 years remaining on Tunsil's deal at the time of the trade, is this like a one-year prove-it window for Peters to see what he looks like, to see whether he would entertain extending him? How does that work as far as Peters' timeline for that?
It's a lot to give up for a one-year thing, if that's what it is. So I would hope that it's not that. You know, I would think that you look at this and say, you've got this spot locked down for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, and that it should result in an extension to me if you're going to give up the capital to do that. So that's how I would view it. But, you know, I don't think you make this trade unless you feel he can do that. I don't think you do that. Mm-hmm.
John, do you think the fact that they have no third, fourth, or fifth round pick currently, does that basically cement Peters moving off of either 29 or 61 to get more picks in the draft next month?
So for me, it would. The problem is, who knows? Because that's not something you can even really know until the draft, until you're sitting there at 26, 27, right? And who's available? I think a lot of people in those spots would like to move back, and the ideal situation is a team moves up to get a guy so they can get that fifth-year rookie contract control. Could I see him looking to do that? Yes, for sure, because in this draft, when you hear and listen to people who know a lot more about it, that there's a lot of depth to it. I don't know that there's necessarily the high-end talent that there's been in the past, and maybe not the deep high-end talent, but there's a lot of depth in that range. So like middle of the first, end of the first, into the third round, I don't know that there's going to be always a great disparity in the level of player you're getting. So it would make sense to do that. And that's why I say, like, you know, losing these picks, that's one thing, but is there a way to recoup some of them? And the answer is yes. And this would be one way. Whether or not they can pull it off will depend on other factors.
Talking to John Keim from ESPN.com on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. So, seems to be mixed reviews on Javon Kinlaw. How do you see him fitting into this defense? I said simply, he's cheaper, younger, and heavier than Jonathan Allen.
He is, but did you say better?
I did not. Did you hear me say better?
No, you did not. You did not. So, but the one thing, with Kinlaw, when you watch him, like, there's a lot of inconsistencies there. With he's 6'5" playing inside. That is, you know, tall for inside. So playing with good leverage, staying low consistently. When I watched him, like, that seemed to be something he had to deal with. But what I don't know is, what is their plan for him? And I say that because, like, you look at him, like, he has traits that are good, right? He is a big guy. He has some good length. You know, there is some power there. Could you maybe play him a little bit more as an end, as a run-stopping end? And then, you know, I talked to some people who felt like that was the idea, play him outside and then move him inside on pass downs. There is a quick, he does have a good quick get off. Like, there are times when he was playing over the nose where he'd win, but it was usually winning with a quick first step, you know? So that's the hard part. Like, you can watch him with what he did with the Jets or the Niners. And, you know, again, you're going to see inconsistencies. That's why the Niners moved on from him. And it's why the Jets were okay letting him go. But what I don't know, the one thing with what I know with Dan Quinn, he is willing to think outside the box. And he had, and this is brought up by, I think it was Chad Forbes on Twitter, a guy who runs like NFL Bible or something like that. Well, he brought it up, and so I'm going to echo what he said because it's why I asked some people if they felt like this was an idea, which is like in 2010 when Dan Quinn was the D-line coach in Seattle, he had Red Bryant, was a defensive tackle backup, didn't play much. They put him out as an end, and he became a very good run stopper in that defense. And, you know, so I don't know if he sees him the same way or not. That's why, like, I'm kind of not reserving judgment on it, but I want to see how they plan to use him. Because one of the things that Quinn said, too, at the Combine was just because a team used a guy a certain way last year doesn't mean that's how we see them. So those words echo. And I think, you know, Dan Quinn is very good at, like, when he was on with you guys, the one word association, Jaden Daniels, game changer, like, well, it's a wrap, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you pay attention to what he says. And so when he says that, like, now because of that, when you look at Kinlaw with his traits, could you do this? So I want to hear what their plans are for him or see what their plans are for him to see how he's really going to fit and what kind of signing it will be. I mean, they clearly need more help on that line. They don't have that, you know, they still want to get that pass rusher, et cetera. But that's with Kinlaw, though, I could see them doing. And the last part of it, too, is, you know, Darrell Tapp coached him for 3 years in San Francisco. Adam Peters was out there with him. So there's a familiarity with him. So it just makes me wonder what they see to give him not just a deal, but a three-year deal.
Mm-hmm. John, let's talk about some of the Commanders' departures. De'Ami Brown goes to the Jags. Good situation for him. I mean, Brian Thomas is the alpha wide out there, but they lose Christian Kirk, no Evan Engram, so there should be a lot of targets to go around for him. He priced himself out of being back here with the Commanders. Yeah. How does that impact this offense going forward?
I think, well, listen, if Noah Brown, who's still out there, and I would expect him to come back, I think you're fine there. The question for Noah Brown is always durability. I would still want to add somebody else out there, but you can get a guy, if you can add more picks, you can get a guy in the draft, or you can get, I think the second wave of free agency will be interesting for this team because I think that's where they're going to view the better shopping, more cost, not just cost effective, but maybe more bang for your buck. In that range. So, you know, that'll be curious to see what they do there. But, like, you know, I think if Noah Brown is healthy and can play, he's going to be that guy.
Now, so, on the defensive, you know, on the defensive side, Jeremy Chinn goes to the Raiders on a two-year deal. That's the more impactful loss. He signed
a
one-year deal here, and he really proved himself. The Raiders wanted him, gave him $16 million. Talk about Chinn leaving for the Raiders.
Yeah, and I thought he was going to be a guy that they were going to keep. And I kept hearing they wanted him back. They wanted him back. I felt like he did a nice job for them. Good size, hybrid player, can play, you know, come down in the box, play as in a linebacker type role, physical, good communicator. So, you know, can you be replace him? Well, of course, but you now have to replace him. So, you know, I think it's a loss, but how big a loss, like, remains to be seen. But I, you know, I thought going into this period, I thought he was a guy they would bring back.
John, remind me, we always know this bizarre legal tampering period thing. It's just why don't they just call it the start of free? It's so dumb.
Yeah.
But remind me, we always know there's a flurry of activity on, you know, yesterday. What is today typically like?
I mean, you're not going to get the same big splash, and I don't know that, like, for us, ESPN, we're going to have a, you know, hours-long special on day two of legal tampering, but things
still start, more signings, right? For sure.
For sure. Like, these guys have to sign a lot more players. Now, some of it will be their own, and then there'll be others, you know, for sure, but yeah, there'll still be a flurry. It's just that you're going to take care of a lot of the big quote unquote big names early in that legal tampering because like those are the guys that people want. But there'll still be a flurry, but it's so different than it used to be. And you're right. Like you know, the legal, the quote unquote legal tampering. I mean, that stuff, the illegal tampering was led to the quick start of legal tampering.
So. Right, exactly.
Hey, John, do you have an updated number on how much free agency money they still have left under the cap at this point after after the Kinlaw?
You're on it, Cakes.
That's a good question. I don't have the updated number because I don't have that updated number exactly. But I would say going into it, it's funny because it wasn't, while it was a lot, because they have so many spots to fill, it wasn't going to go as far as maybe other teams could do it, because I think it was the Patriots were right behind them for amount of cap space. Maybe it was the Cardinals, but the Cardinals have 15 more guys signed already. That's substantial. So yeah, it was Arizona had that. So it was never going to go quite as far as what people thought. But I also, it's funny because I think there's certainly a feeling here that a lot of the deals that were handed out yesterday were not very good, but that's free agency, and that's probably the first day every year it's like that.
John,
that's why a lot of these teams like to wait for that second wave.
Yep. Get those bargains. John, thanks as always. Yep. We'll talk to you again soon. I'm sure you'll continue to be busy today. This John Keim covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, buddy.
Coming up later on in the show, Joe Beninati will talk Caps with him as the Caps are on a West Coast road trip. But when we come back, we'll continue to take your calls at 800-636-1067. It's time for you to grade day one of free agency / trades for the Commanders. What sort of grade do you give getting Laremy Tunsil to solidify the offensive line? Javon Kinlaw comes in and takes Jonathan Allen's place on the defensive line. What do you think of the moves? Grade them next. 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lines next.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
The MGM National Harbor listener lines are wide open at 800-636-1067. They're available for you to grade day one of free agency / trades for the Washington Commanders. 800-636-1067. We're ready to take your calls. Give us your grades.
No, before I give you my grade, I want Cakes' grade, because Cakes yesterday said he needed something to get the blood flowing, and I don't think it was an offensive lineman, and I don't think it was a defensive lineman. He said he wanted a receiver. He wanted somebody flashy.
I like all those things, but if you bring in a premier left tackle, a guy who might go to the Hall of Fame, and you only have to give up draft picks, which are always questionable, to make you instantly better? I love that move by Adam Peters. If I have to grade day one in totality, B+.
B+, I'd give it a B. Kinlaw, we've heard from different people. It seems to be a questionable move. Yeah. I was listening to Grant and Danny, and there was a guy who covered Kinlaw. Mm-hmm. I think his name was Connor Rogers in New York. He works for NBC Sports New York, whatever. And he said he was inconsistent. You just heard John Keim say he's inconsistent. He's never had super production. You look at the Pro Football Focus grades, they're mid on Javon Kinlaw. So we'll see if that works out. And this is actually it's funny, Keim brought up that same tweet that I had seen about the elephant end. It's speculative. The coach is not talking about it right now. I don't think they can.
Right.
The Peters isn't talking about it. So we don't know how they envision him into their system. And then Tunsil just seems like a super huge upgrade. So I would give it a B. I wouldn't go B+, because it's just two moves. I'm not saying that I expected 10 moves, mm-hmm. but it's two moves and one's kind of questionable.
I don't mind Peters bargain shopping after day one. Like, make your big splash on day one, get the two guys that you wanted, and now he's just going to let the, you know, the market dictate what happens. I'm fine with that
and
measured approach.
Right now, I know that you're assuming, and John Keim kind of shot back at you.
Mm-hmm.
You're assuming they're going to trade to acquire more picks. Right now, they don't have many draft picks.
I am assuming that, yeah.
So you kind of want them to have
some draft picks.
Five
or six? They have five?
Right now, they have 29 in the first round, 61 in the second, no third, fourth, or fifth.
No, I think they got a fourth back.
They did get a fourth back.
Yes.
Okay. From the Houston Texans.
They did.
They did. Okay. I'll have to double check that, but I saw
just
what I thought
me.
Was a recent list.
Yeah.
They have number 207 in round six and then 238 in round seven.
Yeah, so they don't have the third and they don't have a fifth.
Yeah.
If we're correct on, and I had seen that
first,
they got the fourth.
Second, fourth, sixth, and seventh.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
I must have looked at a bad list.
800-636-1067. Maybe there's some people upset that they're giving up so many picks. But they're acquiring top talent, so I like what they're doing. It's a little surprising because we thought, if you go back a year ago, we thought this is more of a long rebuild, mm-hmm. despite what they said is a recalibrate. And we figured that Adam Peters, who was known as this guy who had been really good in drafting guys, mm-hmm. would really value draft picks. And maybe he just values the draft picks in a different way because he values them as trade chips.
Well, here's the thing. Jaden Daniels is better than expected.
Mm-hmm.
He's better than everybody in that room thought he was.
Changed the equation.
That changed the way he approaches things.
It accelerated the timeline.
Which I like the fact that he's pivoting on the fly. He's not just sticking to some rigid concept of what he feels is the best way to rebuild the roster, rebuild the team.
Until they prove otherwise, I am going to defer to the guys.
Of course.
To Quinn and Peters and all the people over there. Until they prove otherwise.
Right.
And I do hate the Lattimore
If Lattimore doesn't get better and Tunsil commits 30 penalties and becomes a guy who's a liability instead of an upgrade.
We'll start trashing him.
Then we'll start, hurling bombs from our
studio. Trashing them when they earn it.
Yeah.
It's hard to criticize the Tunsil one that much, because some of the numbers are actually incredible. You can criticize the penalties. He led the entire NFL all positions in penalties.
I hate all penalties.
But what I saw for 3 years, according to Next Gen Stats, his pass block percentage in terms of giving up sacks was 0.6%.
I'm not going to kill it until
in 100 dropbacks, he generally doesn't even give up one sack.
Right.
I just need to see him do it in this uniform. I'm not going to critique it until I see a body of work that he puts forth
here. I'm going to take as a given, Tunsil's going to come in here and be a rock. He's going to have penalties. Right. I guess that's part of the package. He's got a few warts, but I'm assuming he's going to be a rock.
And truthfully, how can he not be better in run block?
No, he's
better. We talked about it. Like,
he's a pro bowler.
We want them to upgrade.
Here's the simple question.
Coleman rated poorly in both
metrics.
Will Brandon
Coleman ever be a pro bowler, let alone a multiple
pro bowler? Maybe a guard, but not a left tackle.
No.
We talked about the running back position. And that's maybe disappointing. Like, when you talk about day one, and I'm surprised you give him a B+ because you wanted those splashy moves, you wanted the offense.
That, like, running back is, that's a down the line thing. Like,
I know.
The Cowboys signed Javonte Williams off the scrap heap for like $3 million.
Okay.
Like, if they want to upgrade the running back room, there's going to be plenty of Jags floating around.
But that's not necessarily upgrading.
It might not be, but if you want a different face in the running back room other than Brian Robinson Jr.
I'm just saying, a day ago, yesterday, you were talking about what gets your blood flowing.
A Hall of Fame
left tackle
gets my blood flowing.
It makes you kind of think of Trent Williams. That gets your blood flowing.
Okay.
That when you look at left tackle.
So you
tackle,
give it a B+.
See it coming.
Before yesterday, I looked at left tackle like, I got questions. Now, my only question is, how many penalties is Laremy Tunsil going to commit in 2025 and beyond? Because I'm basically chalking him up as not allowing sacks from his side, which is just such a
pleasure. That got heard of.
Yeah, it's just such a luxury that I'm unaccustomed to.
It's going to give Jaden an extra beat or two to make a throw, to scan the field, or to freaking take off and run.
Yep. 800-636-1067. Do you agree with Cakes, who's giving him a B+? I give him a B. What's your grade, EB? Day one. It's basically two moves. Kinlaw.
Put it this way. The Kinlaw to me is more of an afterthought. It's a rotation thing. And I'm going to guess that whatever weirdo reporter said he was going to be an elephant end or something, got that from somebody, an agent or somebody. Like, he didn't just make it up. Somebody told him, hey, Quinn thinks this he's a good fit for this. I'm going to defer to them. I'm going to say B+.
By the way, before we take the calls, and 800-636-1067, you're welcome to call in, grade the moves yesterday. I was right about De'Ami Brown, but it tilts me that now I'm in the negative because we made stupid alt-pass bets. Just random, hey, who's
Kicks
the
first, wanted his five
who's,
bucks,
who's
but he owes me 10.
Who's the first goal scorer in the Caps game? Instead of, like, of carefully crafted, I'm on the right side of De'Ami Brown bet. Now I owe JP money because I picked the wrong guy scoring in the alt-cast game.
Well, yeah.
I'm tilted.
Everybody else?
I'm tilted.
Well, why should you be tilted? He gave me $10. Jason gave me $10.
Right, I think that was a net winner.
You're missing
Yeah, because you won a later bet.
I'm tilted because I actually made a good bet because I knew De'Ami Brown was going to make
more
than
$5
million.
Well, you win that bet. You don't win them all.
Well, why didn't I make a good bet? You're devaluing my bet?
Yeah, I'm devaluing your bet because your bet was a willy-nilly, oh, who's the first scorer? Mine, I actually like read the market. I knew De'Ami Brown was going to get paid, and now I'm paying JP. Tilt!
All right. You won the De'Ami
You essentially you just want more back padding.
I want more back padding.
That's the problem.
I want my flowers. Well, I want
well,
my
got
flowers.
I want my,
he got hey, one hey, year. You can have your flowers.
No, it doesn't matter the year. EB. All that matters is he made more than $5
million. You're right.
You can have your flowers.
Yeah.
I want my dollars.
I'll get you the dollars. What do I owe you, 10?
No, you owe me 5 is the net.
5, so it's a
10
wash.
10 minus 5.
That's a wash.
It's not a wash. You owe me 5.
Oh,
you owed me 10.
Yeah, that's beyond tilt. I'm in the negative now.
Yes.
I'm going to leave the show.
Why?
I'm,
you won
I'm,
one
I'm,
bet.
I'm
Why
sick.
Don't you understand the concept? You won one $5 bet.
I understand
I
bet.
Won two $5 bets.
What I'm saying is those
He's
two $5
bets are more by
are
luck.
Dumb and meaningless and random dumb luck.
He's saying
That's
his
was
a more.
I'm just pointing that out. Mine
well
is mine is more savvy.
Here's the funny thing about this.
He won the jelly bean
JP
bet.
He's a bet.
I luck boxed. He had a draft pick.
That's
what
luck box.
He's so mad. He picked Ovi to score. So had he won the money, he would have been like
yeah,
everybody. Would have been like,
you would have
well,
taken.
That's
you would have taken his money.
Right.
Anyway, that's an aside. Sorry, I just couldn't.
Next time, Kate,
I couldn't hold it down any longer.
All right, well, hold on. Next time, if you don't like the bet,
yeah,
don't bet it. Don't
EB,
bet
it. EB, he had Ovi.
Just two things out. Well, he doesn't want his picture taken.
That's a great
he wants a, freaking, what's that thing? A bobblehead.
EB,
and he doesn't want to bet.
Think about this. He's upset. He picked the greatest goal scorer of all time
I made a great
to
bet.
Score a goal.
He
would have won a bet that
he just
way.
He didn't score. That's
right.
All.
And he picked before me.
That's an aside. No big deal. Actually, it's kind of a big deal. 800-636-1067
right, is
people, the number.
I want to hear your grade. I don't often just defer to the staff, but I think this staff has largely earned it so far. So I'm gonna defer to them on the Kinlaw thing in particular. Because they know his character. They worked with him. I'm just going to defer to them on that one.
They earned it with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, that's
well, they
that's
also
a big
earned
one.
It with Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
They also earned it with
Eckler.
Bobby Wagner.
Eckler was a good signing.
Chin came in and balled out. Most of their signings were pretty darn good. Most of their draft picks were pretty good. I'd say they earned the benefit of the doubt. Now, when they start whiffing, I will hammer them.
Like
but until then, they
Sinnott,
get the benefit of the
if
doubt.
If Ben Sinnott has 5 catches again in 2025, question mark. Like you,
for some
he
reason,
better,
I'm
he
not,
better have an uptick in
I'm
year two.
I'm not worried about Sinnott. I think he's going to be fine.
I'm a little bit worried.
We got a guy out in front of him who's catching like 70 balls.
If you scratched off and you can't Jaden Daniels from their draft choices last year, you wouldn't be that impressed.
Okay, Sinnott. Who else am I missing? Oh, McGee, the linebacker.
Yeah.
He was banged up, but that was a late pick.
All right, 800-636-1067. He's going to be, watch it. He'll end up being a stud guard.
Okay, he might be.
But like you said, Jaden Daniels, the perfect deodorant for any other picks that
exactly.
might have been questionable.
Let's go to Reggie in D.C. Want to hear your grades, people.
Look at me. Hey, what's going on,
Look
fellas?
Reggie. Hey, Reggie. What do you think?
I'm giving it an A because you've addressed possibly 3 spots on the O-line. You could take Coleman. I mean, you got Tunsil. Take Coleman, bump him to right tackle. Take Riley, bump him to guard. Or you can take Coleman, put him in guard. Now you got Coleman, Biotis, and Cosby when he comes back along with Tunsil. So for me, that one move makes it an A because we were, as a fans, you know, fans, we were talking about what's the biggest need, an edge rusher, and we got to address the O-line. With one move, we definitely addressed 2. We possibly could have addressed 3 with just one move with Laramie Tunsil.
Mm-hmm.
Also, EB, you mentioned the things that he did as far as the free agents, not the free agents, but you're giving the staff the benefit of the doubt. Also, look at the people we got rid of that they were right on, because Forbes can't play, Jamin Davis can't play, Jahan Dotson is last. So you give them more credit looking at the people that they are analyzing and making the right decisions to move on from players that obviously can't play.
Yeah, they cleared out the bums. They got rid of those guys with the quickness.
Absolutely. So for me, the Tunsil move, the Kinlaw, I was but the Tunsil move with everything, the moving pieces that's going to occur on the O-line, you've got to give it an A just because of that.
Reggie, you know the phrase, game recognizes game?
Yes.
Did you see what Micah Parsons tweeted out after finding out about this deal?
You saw it too. WTF.
WTF.
You already know. Think about
game recognizes game.
Right. Think about Coleman, how he was beat off the edge by Dean on the Eagles with the speed. Now you either put him on the right side or probably bump him inside with Tunsil. You got Coleman, Biotis, and Cosme. We cooking.
Right.
We should be.
I'm with you. And believe me, they're not done. It's just the beginning. They basically made 2-3 moves yesterday. This is just the beginning.
Getting lathered up for the secondary moves today. Secondary market.
And it's not my nature to just give the staff the benefit of the doubt. Again, I think they've earned it. They've earned it. Don't prove it otherwise.
And by the way, as soon as Cooper Kupp gets released, if I'm Adam Peters, I'm grabbing my phone. And I'm on the phone with his representation. Mm-hmm. I'm calling Cooper Kupp, and I'm going to see if I can work out a decent deal.
I'm interested.
I'm calling that guy.
I'm interested if he can pass a physical.
I mean, I'm going to give him a thorough physical, but I'm at least making an exploratory phone call.
I mean, everybody questioned Zach Ertz. He had a kind of a similar resume.
Yeah.
Where he balled out and then had a few years of where nothingness and then just started balling again.
Kupp even better, because the guy was Triple Crown winner.
Oh, for sure. At his peak. Peak of his powers, no doubt. Let's go to Paul in D.C. Paul, want to hear your grade. Be the teacher here.
Hey, fellas, I give it a B. Without a doubt, the Tunsil, with that move right there, you know, like the caller said before us, man, that was a brilliant move. Without a doubt, we got to upgrade because we can move Coleman around, man. So right. I know they seen that. Kinlaw, I didn't see that coming, but, you know, also, I'm with one of you fellas that said that we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt on that right there.
Right.
But also, you know, we talked about draft picks. Hey, we got Tunsil and we got Debo. Mm-hmm. And we got a third and fifth, and it cost us a third and a fifth for this year right here. So we doing pretty good, man. I'm going to trust the process. I wanted more movement. We definitely got to go to something with that D back, man, without a doubt. But also, before I hang up, bro, fellas, what I also think is this right here. With that 29th pick, fellas, they're going to pick an edge from out of college, man, because there's a lot of good ones out there, fellas. Tell me what you think.
I think you might be right. I think you might be right, honestly. And that's what I love about this, is that it solidifies the draft needs.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because honestly, for a team that won 12 games, we have a remarkable number of positions that we need to shore up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Remarkable. Maybe the most ever in the history of the game.
I don't know if that's the case.
For a team that won 12. But it's starting to come into focus now. Whatever they do here will focus what they are able to pay attention to in the draft.
Coming up next, we'll tell you some of the other moves around the league during day one of free agency. Where did Sam Darnold land? The Patriots went on a spending spree. And where will Aaron Rodgers land? We'll do the Junkies Blitz next.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. A little bit later, we're going to shift gears, talk a little Capitals. Joe B. joins us. Joe Beninati, voice of the Capitals, getting geared up for, of course, Ovechkin breaking Gretzky's record, but also the playoffs are looming.
Quick update. I secured tickets for the Caps at Islanders game April 6th on the island.
Nice.
I'm going. Heading to the game.
Is that the projection of the date that he'll break the record?
It's a potential. I think Barry's Verluga did a breakdown. I think that's the projected tying date at this point.
So which game is it?
The April 6th Sunday tilt at the Islanders.
So you're going?
Heading there, yeah, 100%.
All right, good.
Paid $90 to park. To park.
Right.
90.
How much for the tickets?
The tickets for three tickets, which are pretty close, wasn't bad. $550
total.
Total for three tickets.
Good and
for
are you staying the night?
And, no, because it's 12:30 puck drop. Drive up early, game.
Nice.
Head home.
You can do that.
One and done.
That's a lot of driving.
It's a lot of driving, but it's okay.
Yeah.
So it's locked in.
Good for you. I'm proud of you.
Should be a good time.
And you're plenty rich that you can afford
We're trying to surround the Ovi record-breaking goal. My son is going to the game April 2nd in Carolina. We are going to the game April 6th in Long Island.
Who's now, the third? You, your wife?
No, my me, Juliet, Brendan.
Got
two of my three kids.
All right, because Kurt's obviously doing his thing.
He is, yes.
Yeah. All right, good for you.
All right, this segment's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy.
I'm excited for you, Cakes.
Should be fun.
You want to hit the skins? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES for 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great. I'll start with a couple skins-related moves.
Mm, good.
Guys that will no longer be with the Washington Commanders include Cornelius Lucas.
He found a new home.
He signed a 2-year deal worth $10 million. He will be with the Cleveland Browns.
I'm a little disappointed in that. When did that happen? Yesterday?
Yeah, I don't know the exact time.
I'm disappointed.
Ah, Cleveland, where careers go to die. I'm glad he's getting paid.
I'm happy for him. Yeah.
But, I mean, he's going to toil in obscurity playing for the Browns. So, good luck to him.
You got
to
make your money.
Got to make your cash.
Cakes, you mentioned Jeremy Chinn earlier. The safety signs a 2-year, $16 million contract to join the Las Vegas Raiders.
Drab's their newest fan. He gets to root for Jeremy Chinn. Maybe he'll add his new jersey to his collection.
He's a solid player. It's also kind of why I'm giving the staff the benefit of the doubt. Jeremy Chinn proved himself, and they didn't really want to pay him. Dyami Brown was, it was a contributor.
He was fine.
No, I'm not going to overstate it, but he was a contributor on teams.
Right.
He flourished in the playoffs. But they didn't want to pay him. They balked at that. They thought that the price tag for Kinlaw, for them, for the market, and the way things worked out, was worth
it. Right, and for Dyami Brown, his case specifically, he gets to leave a spot where he would still be, at best, the third option. Probably the fourth option behind Ertz and, of course, Debo and Terry McLaurin. He goes to Jacksonville. They've gotten rid of all of their skill position players, aside from Brian Thomas Jr. No Evan Engram. Christian Kirk is gone. So it's a good opportunity for him to maybe be their number two receiver. So you can't blame him for leaving, especially if they're going to pay him $10 million up to $12 million if it hits his incentives.
Chinn's an interesting loss because he had 117 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 1 interception, and he lined up everywhere on the defense. So those are some of the losses, Dyami Chinn and Cornelius Lucas from yesterday. All right, the big news in the NFL yesterday.
Haven't lost Dante Fowler yet.
Not yet.
That's going to happen, though.
It probably will happen.
Sam Darnold is your new starting quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. He signs a 3-year deal, $100.5 million, $55 million guaranteed. So Darnold will work with, is it Clint Kubiak, who I think he has some history with?
Yeah, Kubiak worked with him in San Francisco. So they get to reunite.
Drab, excited for Sam Darnold?
Just when I'm out, they pull me back in. I'll play with it for a couple of years. If it works out,
Sam Darnold, sure.
Fantastic. We'll give him another deal. If it doesn't,
I think it's worth a stab.
For sure. It's really, $55 million guaranteed for quarterback. That's a pittance.
Right. It's not that much money.
I mean, Geno was going to cost more.
Yeah.
And Pete Prisco's number one player in free agency was Sam Darnold.
Right.
What do I have to be angry about?
Right.
Yep. So they have their Geno Smith replacement, and they, get another ex-Jet quarterback who did not perform with the New York Jets, but has come on later in his career.
And grab the upside. You get to root for not one. You get to root for two teams this upcoming season. Seahawks and the Raiders.
Speaking of the Jets, I thought this was a lot of money, man, for Justin Fields. Hasn't done anything. But they bring in Justin Fields to be their quarterback. 2 years, $40 million.
I think you're overstating hasn't done anything. I would say he's had moments. He's inconsistent.
Okay, fine.
He's had moments, though, where actually he's had been borderline brilliant in some games.
Now, he's also, for the fantasy community, he is a fantasy darling. Because even though he sucks at throwing the ball, he has potential to be a 1,000-yard rusher.
He's dynamic with that.
He has that in his tool
bag. But every once in a while, he'll have like a 4 or 5 touchdown game, too.
I know.
Interestingly, he has that in his bag.
Interestingly, he comes to the Jets, who in 2021 could have drafted him. They drafted Zach Wilson instead, 9 spots ahead of Fields.
I saw Zach Wilson lands as Tua's backup in Miami.
Yes, he's in Miami. All right, so the quarterback carousel, what does it leave? Who's looking for a job?
Aaron Rodgers.
Leaves the Pittsburgh Steelers in a decision. If you're the Steelers, would you prefer Aaron Rodgers a quarterback, or do you stick with Russell Wilson, who reunited with DK Metcalf, potentially? If you choose to bring back Russell Wilson.
I don't love either option.
I think Aaron Rodgers is clearly better. I don't even think it's close.
If I had to pick one, it would probably be Rodgers. But again, neither of those two really excite me at this point.
I don't think it's close. I would go with Rodgers. Yeah, there's some baggage there you got to deal with. But
I think if you're DK Metcalf and or George Pickens, you want Rodgers slinging you the ball instead of Russ Wilson. But the one upside to Russell Wilson is he throws the deep ball really well. And what do DK and Pickens specialize in? The deep ball.
You don't think Aaron Rodgers can still throw the deep ball?
I think he can, but I think if you look at who has a better deep ball in history, it's Russ. It's kind of what he's known for.
Yep.
He's known for those moonshots downfield.
Tough decision for the Steelers. We'll see what they do. I don't think they can do... You can't do anything with Rodgers until after noon tomorrow because he hasn't been released by the Jets. So he's got to be released
he's
first.
He's in limbo right now.
And then we'll see what happens with Russell Wilson. But you're running out of potential landing spots if you're Aaron Rodgers and if you're Russell Wilson. I mean, I guess you could go to a team like the Giants, but they're probably going to draft somebody.
The Giants have an opening last time I checked.
A couple other tidbits here. You know the team that has been just decimated by free agency? It's the 49ers. Mm-hmm. The 49ers, I don't know what they're doing. All their top guys who were free agents left. And they also released Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback, who has made a bunch of Pro Bowls. I bring him up only think I could see Peters bringing him aboard. Not that you use a fullback that much, but it would be another weapon, a really good blocking back.
He seems like a guy who would fit in the Commanders' brotherhood and locker room pretty seamlessly.
Like in a one-year deal. He's 33, so he's older. For some reason, I could see them bringing him in.
He's like a hybrid type of player. You move him all over the formation. But again, they just traded for that guy. His name's Deebo Samuel. A better, younger version of that. But maybe they would have interest.
Cakes mentioned the Patriots. The Patriots were a team that was busy.
They were spending big money.
Your number one free agent target for the Commanders was Milton Williams. He agrees to sign with the Patriots.
By the way, he looked like he was almost signed, sealed, and delivered to the Panthers. But Twitter was so spotty yesterday, it was crashing all over the place. Like, I saw that report, and I was like, okay, I guess he's going, David Tepper spent enough money to bring Milton Williams to a bad Carolina team, and then Twitter came back online, and I saw he signed with the Patriots instead.
He'll be making $26 million a year. He had a career-high 5 sacks, was really good in the playoffs, posted 2 sacks with a pair of passes, defended, and a forced fumble in 4 postseason games. Patriots also brought aboard Morgan Moses.
Morgan Moses had a long run, man.
Good run he's had.
Good for that guy.
And they signed Mac Hollins away from the Bills, the wide receiver, because they need threats for Drake May. And a lot of the guys were off the board. So they get that wackadoo who likes to show up like with no shoes, right? And that is a bit.
It's kind of his thing. He's a wild dude. All right, when we come back, we will discuss, can the Commanders get any of the best free agents that are still left on the board heading into day 2 of free agency? We'll talk about that next. And don't forget, coming up at 9:45, we'll talk Caps with Joe Beninati here on The Fan.